Gallery this morning. I declare the meeting open at 9:32 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. And I'd also like to extend and pay respect to their elders, past and present, and to other Indigenous Australians who may be present here this morning. Just quickly, a rundown on our standing orders in regards to public conduct at meetings. All members of the public present at this meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with the person present, be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for such a period as the chairperson decides, and that could include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence this morning, so we'll move straight on to our devotional segment. I'd like to welcome a member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Reverend Mark Westhuizen, to lead the council in a brief devotional segment.
Well, thank you for having me this morning. I always appreciate the opportunity to share with you. And I want to just read a quick passage of scripture from John's Gospel. John was one of Jesus' best mates, followers, a teenager at the time. And this is John chapter 20. It says, after the Sabbath, and this is about the resurrection of Christ at Easter, having just celebrated Easter recently. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and was going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were afraid to look at him and they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know who you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you so. The woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me. I want to just reflect on kind of the main thing about Christianity this morning, really briefly. And when it comes to Jesus, he's the most phenomenal figure in human history. Try Googling Jesus and try to get more hits for any other person or character, real or fictional, throughout human history, and Jesus trumps them all. So you have to kind of answer the question, what's the deal with Jesus? What do I think of him, I guess, is the question. And I've been reflecting on this recently, and Christianity is a deeply historical religion. It is based on actual people, places, events that happened in human history in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas of Israel 2,000 years ago. And if you lose the historical, or the historicity, I guess, of those events, you kind of don't have much left. So my plea to you this morning, or I guess my thought to stimulate your thinking, is when it comes to answering the Jesus question, it doesn't really matter, to be honest, on whether or not you like his teaching, whether you think it's inclusive enough or exclusive enough, whether you personally resonate with some of the ideas and kind of philosophical positions that Jesus has. That's not really the key thing, because if it's just about his teaching, then you can take and reject whatever you like. But it really comes down to whether or not the resurrection actually took place. Call me crazy, but if someone comes back to life after being properly dead for 3 days, you should listen to what they've got to say. To me, that gets them an audience, that gets them in. So it really comes down to not whether you like Jesus' teaching or whether you think Christianity is the best religion amongst others. It really comes down to whether or not the resurrection actually took place. Because if the resurrection didn't happen historically, then you can reject everything or pick and choose whatever you like. But if the resurrection did happen, then you kind of have to take seriously everything Jesus said and did. It all hangs on whether or not the resurrection took place. So I want to just give you a few really quick proofs of the resurrection, super speedy. First of all, everyone agrees Jesus was properly dead on Friday, on Good Friday, when he was crucified. There's no doubt that he was just fainting under the summer heat. The Roman executioners are experts at killing people. he was properly dead. No one disputes that. Secondly, you have to deal with the historical fact of the empty tomb. You can't produce Jesus' bones. There's no, you know, there's nothing to show it's empty. And that itself is a good proof. Because if you think about it, Christianity spreads like wildfire at the start of the, you know, that period of time. It's very easy to squash the whole thing if you're a Roman or a Jew. If it's a kind of a new movement, you just produce the body, you produce the corpse and say, see, it's dead, it's finished. But they can't do that. The tomb's empty. Thirdly, an interesting point, women eyewitnesses. In first century Jewish culture, women weren't allowed to vote. It's like me calling my dog to the witness stand in terms of people saying, hang on a second, that's not how the system works. So women weren't allowed to, they weren't a credible witness, I guess. So the fact, if you were making up the story, if you were fabricating the story in that time and that place culturally, there's no way you would make the key witnesses women. That's silly. The apostles find new courage. So after the crucifixion, they're hiding, they're ashamed, they're, you know, all huddled together in the dark. After Jesus appears to them, they become bold preachers. Many of them go on to die for their faith, believing in it so strongly. They find new courage. You see, the lives of individual people changed. Jesus' own brother, James, was a huge skeptic. One day he went to find Jesus and said, come on, mate, you need to go home. You've had too much, buddy. Let's just get off the preaching box. Come on, let's go home. James becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem and again is killed for his faith. Life transformed. Probably my favorite is there's a time where Jesus appears to over 500 people in one place at one time. And when that's being written about in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, it's quite a short period of time after that's happened. In other words, don't believe me? Ring them up. Here's their phone number. Go and see them. These are the 500 people who saw Jesus resurrected and they're still alive. So you have no credibility to make a claim like that unless you can back it up by producing stacks and stacks of people. And lastly, all of Jesus' key followers who believed in the resurrection, the vast majority of his of the 12 were actually crucified for their faith. No one dies for something they know to be a lie. So those are just a few interesting facts about the kind of historical validity of the resurrection. And I would just encourage you to reflect on that. That's really the key thing. Did Jesus rise from the dead or not? If he did, and I believe he did based on history, that changes everything. Hope you have a great meeting today, a great morning. And I just want to say on behalf of, I guess, the other ministers in the area, just how much we really appreciate what you do for our city. We love our city. We know you love it too. And we just really enjoy the privilege to be able to work together. God bless. Have a great morning. Thank you.
Councillors, the next item on the agenda is recognition of achievement. I haven't been advised of any this morning, so we'll go straight on to the receipt and confirmation of minutes, if I may. Could we please have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 19th of April 2017 be confirmed? Move Councillor Golay, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour. Are there any items of correctness, Councillors? Councillor Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I have noted 2 points that we are taking up internally, not correctness, but just to be added. Won't mention it further than that, but we are looking at that internally. Thank you.
Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meeting, there are nil, so we'll move straight into our public participation. We have been advised of a speaker, so I'll ask councillors if we could have a mover and second that we adjourn the meeting for 15 minutes for a public participation segment to proceed on matters and discussion on matters of local government interest. Move Councillor Golay, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. So just before I ask Mr Vaughan to come up to the microphone, if I could just remind those in the public gallery how we address council. According to our standing orders, and you may have seen some of that signage around the room here in the chambers. It's our usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. The information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. I also need to advise you that the meeting is being recorded in audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. It's also my responsibility to give priority to members of the public who have made a written application to the CEO to address the meeting, and also to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum time of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers. It's also my responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just another reminder, the debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. If you're requiring a hearing loop or any speakers that are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we'll bring that microphone to you. We'll ask you to stand. With that, I'll ask Mr. Vaughan from Thornlands to come up to the microphone. And Mr. Vaughan, if you could just state your name, suburb or organisation you represent, and you may begin when you're ready. Thank you.
Bill Vaughan, Thornlands. I probably roughly represent the people in the TIEA. Madam Mayor, councillors, the Southern Thornlands Investigation Area, as it is now called, was first proposed in 1996. That's 21 years since that proposal. And for many unknown reasons, we keep hearing from council planners and that the terminology, it's premature at this time. I would point out, if the baby was premature in 1996 and is still here 21 years later, perhaps we should be giving it the key to the door. This area is not some airy-fairy thing. Council has used it or attempted to use it to make decisions on planning, to stop development in certain areas, and I would point out that council has twice lost in the courts on this matter. The argument is that we're not sure. Well, I draw your councillor's attention to your consultation report and submission report for your draft city plan. In fact, go to page 124, where people in the area in Springacre Road were told, no, this can't happen because it is within the future urban investigation area. That was Springacre Road. The same excuse was given to those in the corner of Taylor and Woodlands Drive. So we no longer have an ill-defined area. Council has defined it. It's not a red star on a map and something in the ether. It has been defined, and as such it has status. I would also draw your attention to the fact that it has been gazetted twice, once as a proposed major development area in 2007 and again in the 2008 draft plan. Those gazettals, despite our pretty good investigation, have never been reviewed or rescinded or taken. They stand. Legally, they stand. So that gives the area quite a bit of weight. I now go to the point where we have arguments against, and these are arguments that are put up by council employees, and they're submitted to other departments of the state and everything else. One is that the area ownership is fragmented. Well, there's 168 parcels of land, many of which have multiple landowners own multiple parcels, and 66% of it, of that area, is contiguous land to people who wish to develop. That is over 2/3 of the area. Now, I draw your attention, about ownership. It's irrelevant, because as per the February 2014 meeting up there at Pine Lodge, where council officers sat, there was a poll taken amongst the people. There was 142 there, 138 voted for the development of the area. That's 97%. Yet the council never bothered to publish this stuff or pass it on to other councillors. Unfortunately, it seems to have once again been lost in the ether. The people say that within council, that, oh, it needs further great studies. I would draw your attention to the LGMS that was completed, not proposed, but completed in 2007. Whereupon, council then led a contract to PSA Consulting to do the structure planning. Having done that, it then was removed from the urban footprint, so there was an adjustment. But PSA suggested to the council at that time that they go and organise to go to the minister and say, why did it get removed? Well, we do all know why it was removed. It was at the whim of three or four councillors and a group of persons that aren't what you would call properly represented. Now, we keep about these studies that we've had. 21 years, we've had 25 studies. You've just completed another one, a two-volume unit. And what did you come up with there? Another study. I'm sorry. The time for prevarication has ended. You either get on with it or say no. And if you say no, please be advised, as your general manager planning did at the Harridan application a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, anything you do now, because of those gazettals that are in place, they therefore make this council liable for any backzoning. Now, if you thought it was going to be expensive with 10 hectares down at Redland Bay, just imagine what 550 hectares is going to cost you. It's not a penny short of $500 million at least. I'll give you an argument about these so-called studies. There has been a full hydraulic study done upstream of Boundary Road, and it was done as a fully developed catchment. That is, at the end zone, there it is. This is what will happen. Who commissioned the study? The council. They commissioned the study. So that argument goes there. We talk about infrastructure, and sewerage seems to be a bit of a worry, and yet we have other developments in the very south of the shire, oh sorry, city, who seem to be able to get by with what we would call temporary standalone plants. Something that could be done there. But as the man from Redline Constructions, who did your Kuchimoto Island sewerage scheme, he wished to build a shed next to us at one stage, and was told, oh no, you can't do that because of the sewerage problem. And he stated then,
Mr. Vaughan, if I could just advise you that 5 minutes is up, if you wouldn't mind just perhaps...
Righto, I'll finish up now.
Finishing up, that would be great,
as I say,
you.
A sewerage plant or pumping station to hook into the Kinross Road system is very quickly. The LGMS was considered. All the initial statements that have been planning, and this is the one that's most concerning to we as the people here. And this came from two sources, one in 2012 and one a bit later from a local council. And that was that planners have said, even if the state government goes ahead and says develop, we'll hold this up to 2041. And I've told you that, Madam Mayor, and I've told other councillors. Now that stands in the face of good governance. I think if it was a travesty in 2012, as you yourself said, perhaps it's a far worse travesty here 5 years later on. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughan. Now, look, I believe there might be someone else in the public gallery that would like to address council. Andrew? If you'd like to come up to the microphone, Andrew. And just a reminder to state your name and suburb or organisation that you represent, and you may start when you're ready. Thank you, Andrew.
Okay, Andrew, I'm from Heinemann Road on Redland Bay, and I represent five...
Andrew, just your surname?
Caruana.
Thank you.
And I represent five landholders at the end of Heinemann Road, next door to about 50 or 100 metres from the now Cotton Estate, Silkwood Estate. My name's Andrew. I represent five residents of Heinemann Road, my family and their futures. As part of a united group of landowners, we have made a submission to council, namely the Heinemann Road proposal, which offers quarter and half acre land allotments across a total of around 150 acres of privately owned land. All landowners want to develop, so there's no one in the middle of us that don't want to. We, like many other residents, lodged a formal submission to council during the Have Your Say period, which, like so many other submissions, is not to council satisfaction at this time. We are now very concerned for the future planning of our Redlands. I have lived and farmed in the Redlands for over 20 years and have noticed significant changes. The main thing is how fast it has changed from the Redlands Shire salad fruit bowl producing a sustainable food source for all of Brisbane and its surrounds. Unfortunately, as we are all well aware, the viable red farming soil has now all but gone due to very small housing approval. The land for development my neighbours and I propose for residential is rock and clay based and is definitely not suited for small crop farming. The land has no wildlife corridors, has sufficient infrastructure and is adjacent to the newly developed Silkwood Estate. The amended Heinemann Road proposal as submitted was guided by your own head town planners and completely funded by us, the landowners. All studies undertaken in our 130-page report clearly indicate that our joint land offers a great opportunity for larger allotment, detached housing and lifestyle living, complementing the aforementioned Silkwood Estate. Personally, I am a poultry farmer, and our industry is dying a fast death. As the Silkwood Estate is within a stone's throw away of my farm, it is only a matter of time before residents will no longer want to reside near my farm, for obvious reasons. The lifestyle small acreage lots my neighbours and I propose would only benefit the Redlands, offering a supply of dwellings to people who want to park a caravan or a boat on their property and enjoy the serenity of nature without the hassle of busy, cramped, small lot developments where two cars, if parked on the street, make it impassable to other residents and their vehicles. We have, since the review process began, submitted forms, had meetings, asked for meetings with all or most councillors to see if we could gain more support or ideas for our proposal. The general public feedback we have received as a group is that our proposal is sensible and much needed in our community. Approval of a development application such as the Heinemann Road submission would enhance the current lack of lifestyle living choices now sadly being offered by the RCC 2017 plan. Our frustration has been that over the last 5 years and more has now passed, we have followed council process as instructed by council. This incurred considerable expense to ourselves, engaging with various engineers, herbists and other consultants to put together a viable detached plan to benefit our Redlands. No ratepayers' money was ever used to subsidise our proposal. In September 15, the formal submission was lodged with Bill Lyon, CEO, RSC, for inclusion in the draft Redland City Plan, in accordance with Section 118C, Part 2, of the Sustainable Planning Act 2009. The submission followed due process and included input from all stakeholders. The submission confirms the site is suitable for the use proposed, benefits from the momentum of existing and recent construction, leverages from recent infrastructure and other investment, is ready for new residents given the infrastructure road improvements to Heinemann Road, has access to safe and reliable roads with several access points for residents to the area, is contiguous to properties already zoned as urban residential, is within sub-area UR2 of the existing Redlands Planning Scheme and low-density residential under the draft plan, and is adjacent to the Silkwood Mount Cotton Estates, which forms part of the Lower Mount Cotton Residential Development, and will greatly enhance the lack of wildlife corridors and wildlife infrastructure needed for the two designated environmental zones behind and in front of the development proposal. Nothing further has been requested or proper reasons given by the RSC why, after due process has been followed by landowners, council officers and state government policies, the aspirations and wishes of the landowners have not been followed to include the land for rezoning, given the public stated shortages of housing land stock by all levels of government. I would like to thank you all for your time and hope that I today have encouraged some or all of you to help put this great proposal forward for the benefit of the environment and the Redlands community, and that in years to come, you, the people in this room, may say that I voted to get that proposal through and I did make a difference for at least one small part of the Redlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Any other speakers in the public gallery? There being none, councillors, just ask for a mover and seconder that the meeting proceedings are resumed. Move Councillor Tolte, seconder Councillor Hewlett. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to petitions and presentations, I have been advised that there is a presentation. There are no petitions, councillors. So I'll ask for Councillor Hughes to provide us with her presentation on the Be the Balance National Women's Conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, and to my council colleagues and the gallery. I just have a short presentation. Thank you, and I have done you all a favour and given it a bit of a slash and burn. Thank you. It was the National Women's Conference. It was held in Launceston on the 11th to the 13th of April, and as Mayor just said, the Be the Balance topic was very, very informative. Opening the conference was the Governor of Tasmania, Her Excellency Professor the Honourable Kate Warner, who spoke on the importance of flexibility in the work and work practices, opportunities for women in the workplace. The keynote speaker was Helene Chung, pronounced similarly, I'm not 100% sure on that, who described her amazing career as a journalist from the ABC radio flagship program AM to TV's This Day Tonight and nationwide. Her story and the encouragement she gave to the women of the conference was one of strength. Helen was a very engaging opening speaker that captured the audience's heart. Next on the agenda, which was something very topical here in our city, was a workshopping age-friendly cities, an interesting, topical and relevant insight into how important the small and simple things are that council can do to empower and enhance the lives of our older residents. I will be forwarding the Clarence River City's positive ageing plan for age-friendly cities and communities to our council officers for review. So I'll have a chat with our team, just sharing what the team in Launceston have done. Dr. Megan Alessandri was a senior lecturer in politics and policy from the University of Tasmania, and she delivered an updated report on the status of women and girls, a presentation that was interesting and highlighted the many differences for women in the workplace. This is an interesting The topic that was next was Kevin Manderson, a cyber security expert with a defence background. And honestly, so many of us look at IT and we really do go okie dokies, ho hum. But his presentation scared all of us with his stories of hacking, scamming, and the risk to councils when the IT systems are successfully attacked. And as he shared, they are. I am sure that when budget discussions revolved around funding for IT teams across the country, for all councils that attended the conference will be met with some real compassion there. It was a good message to hear, as we can be so removed from day-to-day operations of council that we lose sight of the basic messages that we hear so often. Change your password regularly, protect your computers, and don't trust that unfamiliar email. So it was a timely message. Closing the first day of the conference was the popular Master Chef contestant and all-round foodie Ben Milburn, who shared his focus on the importance and balance the ever-present demands of work and family. And we could all understand that. I didn't watch TV, so I didn't know who he was, but most others there certainly did. Day two was heart-wrenching. It started with Dr. Joan Webb, who was a petite, very, very just amazing 90-year-old woman with an enormous command. She had to be helped to the podium, you could only imagine. Her gentle and persuasive message on creativity with the frail aged left many of us in tears, myself included. It was a heartfelt message of how not to treat our aging residents and the value of their life history and their past contributions. If only we take the time to notice. Her dose of reality in sharing her stories from so many wonderful older folk was a reminder to us all. And I think Paul and I were just recently at one of our aged care facilities on Anzac Day, and it was truly special. I just would share that. Change of speakers saw the pace ramp up a little with the Commissioner of Police in Tasmania, Mr. Darren Hine, who sits on the Australian Government's Advisory Panel to Reduce Violence Against Women. Commissioner Hine spoke about what all three levels of government can achieve in a relatively short time frame once a clear decision has been made to support and drive an issue of significant community value. And again, I think we can all associate with that. In the Q&A session that followed, the room erupted with passionate discussion, and I don't think I've seen anyone want to leave a room as quickly as Commissioner Hine did, as we all shared stories of our frustrations. After lunch, a panel discussion on climate change was well received. Three Tasmanian councils were represented in the discussion, and all spoke passionately of their respective coastal challenges and how they are engaging with their local communities, including individual landowners that have traditionally only looked after their patch. And as a coastal city ourselves, I thought it was a really relevant conference session. With a collaborative approach, communities are taking up the challenges of climate change in their patch, and as a joint project, this is gaining some recognition. And with a mission statement of joining the journey, it is understandably worth following their progress. A great mission statement. Wrapping the conference on a positive and fun theme of humour in the workplace was Dr. Daryl Peebles, who was a little naughty and a lot of fun in reminding us all to take ourselves lightly, our job seriously, and be joyous. It was a privilege and a pleasure to represent Redland City at this National Women's Conference, and I sincerely thank Council for the opportunity to attend.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Bishop. Thank you, councillors.
If I may, just acknowledging, I did say at the last meeting I'd have a presentation from the National Integrity Conference that I went to. I'll have that ready for the next meeting.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Okay, councillors, back to business. And in fact, the order of business. I don't believe there's any need for us to alter the order of business this morning. Any motions for that? There being none. I just remind you of material personal interest and conflict of interest, and your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009. Councillors, a summary of those responsibilities are in your agenda. Okay, the item 11.1.1, which is policy for an investment policy, 2017-2018. I believe, Councillor Bishop, you'll move that item.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the officer's recommendation that Council resolve to adopt the attached 2017-18 policy 3013, investment policy. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop, seconded by Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
No, Madam Mayor, only to say that we've been through that, and the only change is that, well, the only change of significance is that the USB Bank Bill Index has been changed to the Bloomberg Ausbond Bank Bill Index as a result of a takeover. So I hope that goes well for them.
Any other comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Golay and Councillor Gleeson are absent. Next item, councillors, is the policy 3010, constrained cash reserves policy. Councillor Bishop, would you like to move that?
Indeed, thank you. This is 11.1.2, which is I'd like to move that council resolves to adopt the attached 2017-18 policy 3010, constrained cash reserves policy.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
No, Madam Mayor, unless there are any other questions.
Any other questions or comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Golay are absent. Item 11.1.3 is the application of dividends and tax equivalent payments, policy 3117. Councillor Bishop, would you like to move that motion?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to move item 11.1.3, which is that Council resolve to adopt the 2017-18 application of dividends and tax equivalent payments policy.
Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
Only to raise that there was one item we discussed yesterday with regards to a document control section which had been deleted. It was to do with an internal processing thing, which makes absolute sense, but I might just ask the officer if they could speak to that.
Sure.
If that's okay through you.
Our Chief Financial Officer, just to perhaps explain the internal elements and why it's not on the external document.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, thank you for the question, Councillor. We have had a review this year and we've determined that to be congruent with previous years, we're going to table in the public domain. We don't need to put the control. So the document control purpose is very much to ensure that our organisation knows where the policy sits within the business and that people can't just change it, so that it goes through a process. So we have an internal register of all our policies, guidelines and procedures, and that's fully disclosed in there, and I'm sure members of the public don't need to be troubled with that. So the policy intent is unchanged. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Any other questions? Comment, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you very much. On reading this policy, I just needed to do a bit of review. I just thank the Chief Financial Officer, Deborah, for her backup with that. This policy mainly refers to redolent water and waste. Thank you.
That's correct. Any of our wholly owned subsidiaries that provide dividends back, which hopefully offsets in most cases, we hope, the pressure on ratepayers. Councillor Bishop, is there anything further you'd like to add?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
With that, if there are no further questions, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried and unanimously, and Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 11.1.4, our final budget review. Councillor Bishop, would you like to move that?
Certainly, this is the final budget review. I'd just like to move the officer's recommendation that Council resolve to adopt the revised budget for 2016-17 at Redland City Council level, which refers to the following attachments, and I can list those if we so desire. While it's being brought up on the screen, I might as well. One is the RCC Statement of Comprehensive Income, two, Statement of Cash Flows, three, Statement of Financial Position, Operating and Capital Funding Statement, and point five, to meet the requirement of Local Government Regulation 2012, adopt the Redland Water and Red Waste Operating and Capital Funding Statements. With further information about going to pages 11 and 12, very helpful. Thank you.
That's moved, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. Let's speak to it further, Councillor Bishop.
No, Madam Mayor.
Any questions or concerns, councillors? Councillor Boglari?
I'd just like it noted that I will be supporting this today because it's all part of our budget, going into our budget period. But I'd just like it noted that I still have outstanding questions on a couple of the items, but I have been assured that if coming up I've got any disagreement with them, that it can be rectified in the next budget review. That was all. Just projects in my own area, nothing citywide. That was all.
Thank you, Councillor Borghari. Any other questions or comments, councillors? Just noting that this is a forecast, and we, as we do at the beginning of every financial year, and we reassess it throughout a different couple of periods so that we can be as on track as possible, and it's a document that guides us in our decision making. So anything further to add, Councillor Bishop, would you like to sum up?
Only just to acknowledge Councillor Borghari and some other councillors who had questions during the fluid process, that we appreciate that the work that the officers are under, we do need to keep moving forward, but I think most councillors are of the view that things that have been raised previously, if they do need to be brought back, can be addressed and discussed and considered in due course. So with that, I know I'll just move it and nothing else to add. Thank you.
I'll put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3. Councillor Tolte, would you like to move?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Categories 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
So moved. Seconded to that is Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, Madam Mayor, it's in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 11.2.2, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters List, as was current at the 21st of April 2017, and ask that this be noted.
Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it further, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any questions or comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 11.2.3, Councillor Tolte, would you like to move the officer's recommendation?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to move the officer's recommendation on 11.2.3, which relates to ROL 006091 and ROL 006094, which is the Shoreline Estate Stage 1A through C. And move the officer's recommendation.
Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded. Councillor Hughes, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Just briefly, Madam Mayor, this is a matter that's been of significant interest to the community over a long period, and this is the first in a number of stages that will happen over the next 10 or 15 years with regard to this master planned community. The recommendation from the officers is that one of these three stages be approved for 205 lots, and that some further work for preliminary approval and requirement for some further work be done on the other two stages in relation to ensuring that the future inhabitants of those two stages won't be impacted by a nearby chicken farm that is reportedly no longer operating but has to be proven to be so.
Just before we proceed, I'd just like to have noted in the minutes that due to a previous issue raised in these chambers by another councillor, that I would like to declare a perceived conflict of interest due to the fact that it was raised in the public domain, and I will I will vote according to the legislation and in the community's interest. Thank you. Could be noted. Councillor Tolte, that was you were speaking to it. Any speakers against, councillors? Comment, councillors? Okay, so Councillor Elliott. A question? Okay.
Sorry I didn't raise this yesterday. We did talk about the poultry shed's conditions, and I'm just wondering, I'd like, can we revisit that when that report comes in? I know we're giving the...
You're asking the councillors...
Yeah, I'd like that back, because there was some discussion on that, and I wasn't quite clear if that was going to, stack up that the reverse, what is it?
Reverse amenity, I think.
We'll go with that one. I had a bit of a concern on that and a couple of that particular issue. I don't want to see anybody in any poultry smell area whatsoever. So I'd like, we can have another look at that. Will we workshop that again?
So I note that it's, that element is actually a preliminary approval.
Yep.
So there's two parts to this. There is a development permit for part that part that isn't subject to that reverse amenity report in regards to poultry overlays, etc. The other element is a preliminary approval subject to that. I'll make sure that the CEO and the General Manager for Community and Customer Services and the Planning Officer in the back of the room have that noted,
mm-hmm.
so that Council can have that discussion before it proceeds to any a development permit. Is that satisfactory, Councillor?
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Councillor Boglari?
Oh, thank you. Shoreline was a development which I spoke quite strongly against when it first came up, but we're now past that point, and so now we are just approving the stages of it. We've had a workshop on this. The officers did answer all our questions. I still have concerns about certain parts, but they do agree with actually what was approved back then and that infrastructure agreement. So at this stage on this one, I will be voting for it, even though I'm actually against the development as a whole, because there's nothing actually on this particular decision that the officers aren't going to hold conditions on, give the preliminary approval only, and look into those other issues that we have. So unfortunately we're past the part where I can actually stop this development, and we've now just got to work with it to achieve what we can.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. It is a code accessible application, so officers have made their recommendation according to that legislation. Are there any other questions, Councillor Bishop, or comments?
Thank you. Yes, mine is a comment, and similarly to Councillor Boglari, and maybe just a change of words is I don't think anyone wants to stop development. It's the matter of the appropriateness, and for me the question regarding this particular application was about timing, and it's many years in my mind too early, and now that the council has chosen to endorse this, it's too late to stop that, and so I have real concerns about some of the issues that are not yet addressed, because it is an out of sequence development. The developers have taken it upon themselves to meet the conditions of their own area, and we've just had to take on the code accessible aspect of that, to which I can find no grounds, and I support the officer's recommendation, but I have concerns about it, and it's about the timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Any other comments? Councillor Golly?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just very briefly, I tend to agree with my colleague, Councillor Bishop. We keep hearing this story about infrastructure, but the developments keep rolling through. And it's almost like the cart before the horse. And I know we have members of the gallery who have said, look, we'd like to have our land brought in for consideration. But at what stage do we slow the urban sprawl and allow the infrastructure to catch up? And I know you've been working tirelessly, Madam Mayor, with the state government, trying to get infrastructure brought into the Redlands. And I too think that this development is a little bit too soon, but because it's code accessible, we're pretty much in the corner. Backs to the wall. Thank you.
Any other comments, Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I, like Councillor Boglari, I didn't support the original application, and my reasons were based around what Councillor Golay was alluding to as infrastructure. Council has often disparaged because of road infrastructure, but this is state main roads out there, and unfortunately, just for the community's information, when a development is done, main roads are the one that make the decisions on that infrastructure. It's not council. The state impose on the developer what they believe needs to be done, and we are always fighting for infrastructure. Unless this gets approved today, you won't see the upgrades that are in the conditions of the application, which include the Giles Road application. It'll still be subject to the sewer approval. So this is a code accessible development, and to reject it would mean that we'd end up in court paying a lot of ratepayers' money to defend something we wouldn't win, in my opinion. So I support this. I'm just thankful that a reputable developer such as Vettini is involved in this, because I think they'll provide a really good outcome. Thank you.
Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Hughes?
I just like to share my similar thoughts. I think it's important that the community know that council are and have set a lot of preliminary approval notes, and we are working one by one through these. This is a big process, and councillors are watching every step of the way. Thank you.
Any other comments? Councillor Bishop. Sorry, you've already had... sorry, Councillor, I'm not... if I could try to keep it...
Just an acknowledgement of an immense amount of work officers are doing in this space. Again, a sequencing issue to do with the impact on the organisation. But they have been doing extraordinary work, and you can just look at the amount of detail in this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further comments, councillors? If I could probably just add that it's really important to note that the approval by the state preceded that of the council, which actually put us in a position which made it a difficult decision and a very, very, very long debate. I'm still catching up on the sleep we missed out on that particular evening. But I think it's also important to note, because of its unique position in the sequencing, that we're actually been allowed to acquire a great deal more infrastructure than we could for any other development in this city. And in fact, when you talk about Cleveland Redland Bay Road and those various intersections, we could never have asked of that for any other development within the urban footprint. So the officers in their process and processing of this application have actually achieved a great deal more infrastructure than they could do in most circumstances. And in fact, it's about $100 million of infrastructure and tens of millions of dollars in other infrastructure and parks, etc., which we would normally have around a $28,000 infrastructure cap imposed by the state. We've been able to surpass that. So, look, as much as it's been a tough decision, I'd like to thank the officers with the situation we were left with as a result of the state government approval from SARA. We've managed to get the best possible outcome for our community, and I appreciate Council's comments and concerns this morning, and we will work through. This is going to be a 15 to 20 year project potentially. And each time it comes through, I'm sure there'll be at least 11 sets of eyes making sure that what was committed a year or two ago will be delivered. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte to sum up, and then I'll put the motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as has been noted by councillors, this is a very big project, and I would like to thank officers. They've done an exemplary job over a very long period and a very, very difficult negotiation in some points, and they've done extremely well to get to this point, and it's ongoing, and it will be ongoing for a long time. And as councillors have mentioned, we have three significant intersection upgrades included in the conditions for these stages, and these are intersection upgrades that we do desperately need, so look forward to that. And over the life of the project, there are 8 intersection upgrades north and south of the development that will occur, and that will benefit the community enormously. There's also small parks in this particular phase of the development, but over the life of the development, there are some really impressive future parklands that will also benefit the community. So it's a very big project, but it will provide a future for Redlands that should be very, very positive. So thank you.
With that, councillors, I will put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors.
Moving on to item 11.3.
We have 11.3.1, the Alexandra Hills Menshed. Councillor Hughes, you'd like to move that motion?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'd like to move 11.3.1, the Alexandra Hills Menshed new lease.
Seconded by Councillor Bogliari.
Speaking to this, the Alexandra Hills Menshed has 100 plus members now. They're a self-sufficient group with they're doing their own fundraising with their weekly Bunnings barbecues. The community groups that these guys are supporting include Capalaba Community Centre, my Redlands Special School, and various aged care groups. This is for a 10-year trustee lease. There is no dollar value to the lease, as this is state land, and we are looking after them, and looking to expand and build additional workshops is this really enthusiastic group of guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Any questions or any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Boglari?
Through you, I'd just like to stress how these men's sheds around our city are giving back. I've been absolutely amazed how they've expanded their roles. I think they were initially set up because we women tend to get together over tennis or coffee or craft, but there was nothing for retired. Yeah, I wish to, in our 70s maybe. But there was nothing for men. And I know when my father retired, he absolutely drove my mum batty, you know, trying to keep him busy. And if he'd had a men's shed to go to, it would have been beneficial, I think, for all concerned. But initially, I think that's what they were set up for, is to give men somewhere to go to. But now, they've just expanded out to help the senior sits around the place. They help with Relay for Life. They help various churches build Christmas decorations. It's just amazing how they've gone from just being like a social gathering for men to this giving out to our community. So I just, and I know Peter was speaking highly of the Cleveland one the other day as well. So I think any support council can give them, their value in our community these days certainly can't be underestimated.
Comment, comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, certainly acknowledging what can happen when you unleash the human alchemy of people wanting to get together. And when strengthening communities a few years ago did allow all of those various departments, various men's sheds from across the city to get together, it's unleashed a whole ripple of ongoing collaborations, not only between other non-profit groups and members of the community, but also the commercial realm. I know there's businesses that have contacted them, used them as a corporate social responsibility exchange, but most importantly is that it's actually about people meeting one another, and the mantra that men shed have is shoulder to shoulder, and that provides a really mateship-based, collegiate way for people to work, and it adds to a quality of life and health and wealth and well-being across the city. And I think that it's just an example of why we, representing the community who do want to get together, when we can enhance that and allow that, it goes beyond what council thinks its role is, but the community actually start to autonomously make their own future. And I think that's really ultimately the greatest power that council has. So supporting this and is exactly the sort of work that we should be doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Councillor Gleeson, comment?
Thanks, Mayor. Comment? Yeah, comment, please. Again, just to say what a great job these guys do. Men's Sheds put out a great opportunity for the old fellas to get out and have a bit of a chat. I've certainly been to the Alex Hills Shed a few times. A couple of things I've done for the Powered by Senior Sits group. They need some equipment made up, and I approached the Alex Hills Shed to do that. I'm more than happy to get involved in that. So, as has been said by Councillor Boglari, you know, they're not only filling in time and creating a bit of mateship, but they're actually helping other community groups out there, so it's terrific. But one of the other times I was there, I'm not sure if it made the paper or not, but the big Brisbane statue in South Bank that was put in there for, I think it was Brisbane Festival or some sort of festival, they actually did the N as part of that, and that was done here at Alex Hills. So I don't know if it actually made the paper, but I was there when the N was in there and they were decorating it and designing it and doing all that. It was terrific. It was really good.
That end back, and it could form a Redlands.
We can throw it into a Redlands statue.
Excellent. Anything else, councillors? It's a lovely discussion about men's sheds, but we need to approve their lease. So with that, firstly, I need to ask Councillor Hughes if she'd like to sum up. I know you're anxious, councillors.
Thank you very much. Summing up for the officer's recommendation on the screen. Thank you very much.
Put the motion. Those in favour. Those against. Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. The next item is a delegation to the CEO regarding our cleaning contracts, 11.3.2. Councillor Hughes, would you like to move that up?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move 11.3.2, the CEO delegated authority to sign contract for the cleaning of council buildings over $2 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hughes. Councillor Boglari, second that. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you very much, Mayor. The background on this is that the current tender for the cleaning of council buildings will expire on the 30th of June 2017, and tenders have closed for this on the 22nd of March. We have RCC in our final stages of the evaluation process with our procurement and facilities team, and this is a motion to ensure that the CEO can execute this contract. Thank you very much.
Any speakers against, councillors? I know that there was some discussion about this yesterday and some clarity was provided by the General Manager of Organisational Services. Are you happy? Would you like that to be discussed here, or are you happy just to move it? Okay. All right, all good. So we have a question? Comment?
Yes, just in relation to that, the question was initially raised, and in regards to the contract being singular, and just over time acknowledging that there's been some efficiencies of scale in relation to administration. Councillors were of the mind that where appropriate that we can ensure that local people benefit from the provision of these various duties. We would like to encourage that, and that is still very much in line with where this is heading, which is important.
Yep. Actually, the General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations, I think, my apologies to throw John Oberhard under the bus. My apologies. If there's no... Councillor Boglari?
That's all I was going to... No, through you, I was just going to add that the councillors were just concerned about making sure that local people, you know, got a chance, and the CEO checked the tendering process, and there's a large percentage of weight given to local, so that was one of our... concerns yesterday, which was addressed.
Sorry, Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I'm going to support this, but I just wanted to give credit to General Manager Peter Best. Since he's been in this role, every inquiry that I've sent through to him, whether it's good, bad, or he has been so fast to getting back to us, and I just want to congratulate him on the job he's doing in that role, because I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Councillors, thank you. Is there any further comments or questions? With that, I'll hand back to Councillor Hughes to sum up.
Thank you. I'd like to put the officer's recommendation that Council resolves to delegate authority to the Chief Executive Officer as follows, and points three... sorry, I've got that almost wrong. Points one and two on the screen. Thank you.
Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillors. Councillors, I have 2 mayoral minutes, as was discussed yesterday. I may just start with the one that requires us to accept the interim management report. Liz, if you're ready for that one. Sorry? Yeah, that'd be good. So, Councillors, as is required under legislation, we just need to accept the interim management report presented to Council by the Queensland Audit each year, and it's a good report. I wanted to take this opportunity to congratulate Deb and her team, Deborah Corbett Hall. It's important just to give you a bit of a background, because I know there were some questions around this and it was late, but the QAO appoints a contract auditor to conduct Council's external audit every year to provide assurance over the information presented in the financial statements, as you'd expect. This review is ordinarily conducted in two parts, an interim and a final visit, and I think we mentioned yesterday that it just seems like not long ago that we approved the final final report for QAO, which was actually the last year's. This is the following year's. So it actually presents an opportunity for us to do the continuous improvement, which is what we all expect from the organisation, as it includes an independent review of Council's key systems, processes and controls, and all of that has a very significant impact on our financial statements, and we've always got a close eye on those. As such, from time to time, the auditors will raise recommendations to address a particular risk identified during that review. These recommendations are then added and tracked through the internal audit register, and we make sure that those required actions are reviewed monthly. It's fair to say that good progress has been made since the previous financial year, as the financial services work with the business in closing the recommendations put forward by the QAO. The attention and dedication officers give to these audits and the recommendations is apparent when considering the progress that we've made to date. So thank you to all those in the organisation. Only one additional point was raised this year, and 7 out of the 10 points raised previously were resolved during the current year. The remaining points, as well as the business process improvement recommendations, continue to be monitored. Council continues to have a great working relationship with QAO, thanks to a continued professional and timely response to audit requests, enabling us to make a difference and make it count in the efficiency and effectiveness of internal controls and financial reporting. So a big congratulations to Deborah Corbett Hall and her team and the whole organisation that have made us resolve those recommendations in a timely fashion, which is all good for the ratepayer in the City of Redlands. And this is yet another notable achievement by that team. So thank you, Deborah. I'm assuming that gives you a little bit of a background, councillors, because it was a late report, but it is a process that's required under legislation to be adopted under the ordinary meeting, a general meeting. So with that, I have some questions. A comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely agree with you that officers have a good relationship, and it's a respectful relationship with Queensland Audit Office, who they always find that the information supplied not only quickly and efficiently but comprehensively, and just acknowledge that the work of officers in that space. But I just have it was a late item, but to receive this at 9:18 as a document is just I just would like us to be able to get that earlier, because it was drafted at least on the 27th of last month. So it would just be good if we could get that a little earlier, that's all.
Thank you.
A matter of
And I did, it was forewarned, and I went through the document with you yesterday at the pre-generals just to make sure you had a summary. Yeah, and we could have probably brought this back to the next general meeting, but in order of the fact that we've got a lot of work happening in the budget space and councillors were aware of it and we had that discussion, there was agreement that we could bring it today. So if there's any further questions, it is just an interim report.
Yeah, I understand it's just a report for noting. We couldn't have changed it anyway if we had got it a week ago. Does it go up on the website if anyone is interested in it?
It should form part of the minutes, I would have thought. So this mayoral minute, it will form part of the minutes.
Thank you.
Anything else, councillors, on that? With that, I'll ask for your support on the mayoral minute. Are those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Also, in line with a previous resolution of council, I've got another mayoral minute in regards to the extension of the appointment of the deputy mayor for another year. We've had this discussion, councillors. So, some councillors weren't present this morning. I was under the illusion that we might have needed to look at our other external committees, but we don't need to extend those, as the recommendation from the previous resolution didn't require us to come back after 12 months. But in this instance, my mayoral minute is on the screen. And with that, I'll ask for your support on that. Any questions or comments, councillors? Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say that I fully endorse this recommendation, because Wendy has been an exemplary Deputy Mayor over the last year. She is so in the community. She attends so many events. She represents the mayor. Her experience has helped me greatly in this role since I've been here for 5 years. And I just want to thank her for the job that she's done in the last year. Thank you. Boys.
Thank you. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour are Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Hewlett, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Bishop, Williams. Those against, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you. With that, councillors, we have one more item that I need to deal with, which is in closed session. There have been no notices of motion or urgent business without notice. Do we need to move into closed session, councillors? You don't need to do that. We are required under legislation in regards to matters of appeal in the Planning and Environment Court to do so, and that it should be pretty apparent to anyone that's been involved with P&E in regards to protecting the position of ratepayers on this particular position. So with that, do we need to move into closed session, councillors? If you would like to move into closed discussion? Councillor Hewlett has moved that we move into closed session, seconded by Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. So with that, I think Brian and the members... No. No, this is before the courts. I'll be asking you just to respect the requirements and the decision. So with that, councillors, we have the officer's recommendation. Councillor Elliott, you're happy to move option the officer's recommendation?
I say reluctantly. I can,
sure.
Can see what Councillor Hewlett is, but yeah, I'm happy to move it, something like that. I think councillor, would you like to withdraw that, please?
I missed that. Sorry, councillor.
A comment was made by Councillor Golly. I'd like it withdrawn.
Is that a point of order?
The Councillor Golly made a statement and I'd like him to repeat it or withdraw it.
Councillor Golly? I'd appreciate if you...
Thanks, Madam Chair. I didn't make a statement. I said one word, which is rubbish, and I withdraw that. Thank you.
Well, please, can I'll repeat. Would you please respect the decision of this council? And I think today has been a great example of how we can operate professionally, and would like to continue that till we close the meeting. So with that, Councillor Elliott, I note it's a difficult decision. You've moved that officer's recommendation. Can I have a seconder to that? Move, Councillor Gleeson. No further discussion, councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Okay, the motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Bishop. Thank you, Gleeson, pardon me. Wow, too many Pauls. Have we got that clear, Liz? My apologies, councillors. Like I said, please continue that good behaviour. We're all about to close the meeting in about 3 seconds. There is no further business, councillors. So once again, thank you for your participation. I think it's been outstanding today. Personally, thank you for that. And we close the meeting at 10:53. Thank you very much, officers as well.